broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, back live tonight, as we are every night. And during, by the way, football playoff season, be sure to join us on Phil TV and HD on our website as we have Sunday football with Phil. And we joined so many of our BSPs on Sunday and had a fine little football afternoon watching the Packers and watching the Giants just do a number on the Packers. And we'll do it again on Sunday. We generally do the late game, the second game on Sunday, which I think this is whatever game is Sunday. I don't know if it's going to be a late game or not. It's probably the conference championship, one of the other conferences. So we'll be there for you. Phil TV in HD on philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. On the line with me is Dave Oliva. And Dave is at right now. I guess you're back home, Dave, in San Fernando.
Well, actually, we're still traveling. I'm going to my sister's. I have to pick up. I've got to pick up two auto detailing. A couple of my brother has an auto detail business that I'm also partners with him in. I have to pick up a couple of bids.
Okay. In any event, we're talking with Dave here. But you're eventually going to be a police officer.
Yes, sir. That is my dream, to be LAPD. There's no question about that.
And Dave is a student of criminal justice at L.A. Canyon College. All right. So this crime in Los Angeles, near the Hollywood sign, a decapitated head found along the Hollywood sign hiking trail near the sign. We mentioned the horrifying murder of poor little Adam Walsh and what his family went through, and these other gruesome crimes.
I mean, you can talk about like if you want to talk about like what was that one crime, Jeffrey Dahmer? You know, it's the same thing. You know, are you going to tell me that you're going to want to report they found a head? You know, every time that's reported, you got one less tourist that's going to come to your town.
All right, well, look at Milwaukee, Wisconsin. What do you think the money is in tourism there? I'm not saying it's not a great city to visit. I've been there. It's a lot of fun to visit the breweries and go out to Lake Michigan, the beer gardens. It's fun, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, are you putting that down? Because everybody's been saying, I've been saying bad stuff. You're putting down what?
I'm not putting anything down.
Well, I mean, if they've got beer gardens, they got beer gardens. And you're going to come out on the news and say, and in Mr. Dahmer's, I guess they found in like his icebox, they found head. They found a lot of heads.
And they found a lot of stuff. Mr. Dahmer was beyond weird. That cat was beyond crazy. He was beyond murderous. He was a cannibal. So they found a lot of things. You're not going to announce that? You know, that little boy that escaped and those stupid Milwaukee cops turned him back into the custody of Dahmer, that child, he might have survived, okay? We're talking about information.
Well, what are you saying? Should they go down and report that on the news? One of the things is, Mr. Hendry, that boy escaped and was questioned by the police and then turned back over to Dahmer. There was no time to go to the Milwaukee newspaper and say, you know, there was a nude kid. We found a nude kid, but, I mean, I don't know.
What are you talking about, man? I'm not talking about going to the Milwaukee newspaper. I'm talking about publicity, and I'm talking about making sure people know. Let's go back to Ruben, who's been hanging on. Ruben, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. Dave, I've been listening to you from the very beginning here, and I am so totally set back by what you were saying. I get the impression that you're a very young individual right now, and going to school, et cetera. And I'm finding that your reasoning and what you're using to validate what you believe about tourism and so on and so forth, I think you're really stepping way out of bounds and way out of your territory to even come close to what the real issue is.
What town do you live in? I mean, I've lived in L.A. my whole life, and the tourism gets affected by...
Hold on, Dave. Coincidentally,
what?
I was born and raised in San Fernando in the Sylmar area.
That's where I live.
Okay, fine. So I don't know what that has to do with it. I'm living in Idaho right now, in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho,
okay,
which has nothing to do with what you're talking about.
I don't know.
Okay?
You can't really comment on L.A. if you're living in Idaho.
Hey,
yes, he can. He grew up here.
Just as a citizen, working with the police. And if I learned as a citizen that police are starting to control what the media or the editors or journalists are saying about something, and if I can't get that information, then I'm living in a police state. And that is so.
I'm not saying that, sir. I'm not saying that. You didn't listen to me.
Well,
I said
you're talking about not letting the newspapers say anything about it or.
No, I said use code. Use code.
Why?
Either head on a stick or head overboard.
No, the simplest thing would have been just a disembodied part. I mean, that's so simple, and that's the truth.
That is going to scare the tourists, and they'll never come to the city.
Really?
If you
it
do
could
that.
Have been a finger. Or a hand. That's not. And you once again you're equating it with you're. It's going to hurt tourism. What in the world does the police department have any concern with tourism? What? Isn't it solving
because
the crime?
That's where the part comes in of me being the next generation of people. Because what we're looking at is what crimes does.
That's the
what
other
crimes
thing that you're
saying, what crimes does it cause when
the police? I'm at the point where I'm listening to you, a new generation of police, as if your generation has a better handle on things than things that have been going on for years and years before you. And
I'm saying if a new chicken dog place opens up.
From what I'm hearing from you is I hope to God, I hope good luck in the police force, but I hope that you never get farther than being a traffic cop. That's it.
Well, I mean, sir, if a chicken dog place opens up and they're doing good business until they come out and go, oh, by the way, a head got discovered near this guy's chicken dog stand, what do you think that does to his business?
You're
of course it's going to shut.
I mean, that's completely.
What?
You're just pulling things out of the air that have.
Well, no, let me ask you a question.
What the fact has happened.
If it was your chicken dog stand, and the reason why I say chicken dog is a nephew of mine opened up a chicken dog place. If it was your chicken dog stand and they found a head, wouldn't you care?
Well, the man's
exactly.
making a good point.
That's
you're
the point. I'd
you care if they said your chicken dog place got a head near it. That's what you'd care about.
And I'd want
you'd
to
want
find
to know.
Solved.
Would you want other people to know?
Exactly.
You want the crime solved. And let the chips fall where they may where it comes to somebody's business. Thank you very much, Ruben, for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here is Harold on the Phil Hendry Show. Harold, go ahead.
Hi,
I don't think that gentleman did not address my point.
Harold, it's going very well, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, Phil, listen, I don't know, man. I don't think this guy ever make it past the psychiatric violation as far as being a cop. I mean, he's talking total nonsense. Total nonsense. Dude,
that
your first priority as a police officer is to protect and serve. You have nothing to do with tourism, man. Absolutely nothing. Let me tell you something, man. If you were the next generation, you would bankrupt California by yourself. You'd have so many lawsuits that it wouldn't be funny. Golly gee, man, what are you talking about?
No,
I mean, you're talking like you. Have you even started school yet? I mean, are you in your first semester?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I have. I'm in my second year toward my AA. I'm in my second year toward my AA.
You're talking like this? Oh, my God, man. I tell you what. You just wasted your time. You need to go over.
That man didn't answer my question about the fact I said if they found a head near a chicken dog stand.
A chicken dog stand? What does that have to do with anything? I could care less about a chicken dog stand. That's a person.
I brought it up because my nephew had opened up a business.
And serve. Protect
yes,
and
sir.
Serve. So that means that you would have to communicate the information to the people of the state first. What are you worried about tourists for? You want to see more people get murdered? I mean,
no,
you're
sir.
Crazy.
I want to see
you
more tourists come to the state.
Crazy. If you're the next generation, California is in trouble. Trust me. Because
well, you know, it's in trouble that the citizens don't understand the job of a police officer for me to say
understand.
To people.
Your job is to protect and serve. It is not to control tourism. What do you care
my
about?
My job is to make sure, though.
Are you listening, Dave? I got to interrupt. Are you listening what the man's saying?
All I'm trying to say is, and the reason why I brought up chicken dog is because my nephew had a chicken dog stand. If they found a head near.
That should be your new dream. That should be your new dream. Open up a chicken dog stand. You know what? Do that. Because you would not make it as a cop. That's for sure. There's no.
I could ask you, I could ask you the question. If they found a murder victim near your business.
A murder victim near my business, I would want to communicate it so nobody else would end up that way. That's what I would want.
Okay, and guess what? No more people come to your business. No one comes for your chicken dog.
If they don't come to my chicken dog stand, guess what? I'll move it. I mean, I would
rather see a person saved than
have somebody beheaded and another one because you didn't communicate the information to the people. So
that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. I think business. Yeah, that's the bottom line. I think businesses have to realize that, Dave. You know.
Well, Mr. Henry, you and this gentleman are not thinking about something entirely. You're not thinking about this. The number of people that are thrown out of a job when you don't find the guy. When you say, "Oh yeah, they found a head down here on 5th and Main."
What do you want? Do you want to be a politician or a policeman? I mean,
I want to be a policeman. I want to be the new generation of policemen.
If you're going to be the new generation of policemen, you're going to protect and serve better than the ones that are already doing the job, that have press conferences over these situations to let people know what's going on so that they can, can walk around in groups rather than being single or whatever, to give that individual the opportunity to do it again. I mean, if you're going to do anything, you let the people know. If you're worried about tourism, you tell the tourists, make sure that they travel in more than one. Because the key word is tourists, meaning plural, not individual.
Dave, when Miami had those people coming out of the airport and they were getting bumped by gangbangers, you remember that?
Yeah.
The newspaper didn't say, oh, let's not tell the tourists coming out of Miami International that gang members are ripping them off or that one lady was murdered. They told everybody. They had to. It was a responsibility to tell people.
Responsibility to do just
but they could have said, but they didn't have to say. They could have said, like, lady, they could have used code. Like I said, get overboard,
code,
that lady didn't like it.
Okay, who's going to understand the code? And what happens when another person is murdered because you decided to use a code rather than using a simple fact?
You don't understand what head overboard is. Wow.
What does that mean? I don't understand.
Head overboard. That means somebody fell off a boat. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
A head, sir.
Okay. Listen, Harold, thank you. Harold, thank you for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. As we talk about crime and what the media should report in these economic times when tourism and the like is so important to the economy of many states. California is one, Florida is another, New York is another, Nevada. What do you report? Dave proposes that the police have a hand in releasing the information in a way that would not alarm the public. Don't say a decapitated head was found. Just say Hollywood head or some kind of code. 877-876-PHIL. Your opinions on our show tonight as well with Dave Oliva. And, of course, our News and Information Hour coming up next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Show. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Dave Oliva on the line with us. You're talking, Dave, during the break, was talking to me about the D.B. Cooper case, and you said they found what?
This was reported in, Phil, this was reported in a Washington newspaper, I think it was in November, that human body parts were found. But mostly, they identified a head, the skull, I should say, but the skull had on it a helmet in the middle of an area that there would be no motocross, there's no motorcycle, no nothing. This was a very remote area. And now they feel that it could be D.B. Cooper. They don't know yet. Now, if we don't take these things seriously, how are we going to find out who these people are, you know?
But I mean, are you telling me don't report that D.B. Cooper's head was found?
I'm saying you can't report a head until you know, because now all of these people want to do another D.B. Cooper movie. You know, how many of those are we going to have? And everybody thinks they found D.B. Cooper this, D.B. Cooper that. They haven't found nobody, you know?
That's got nothing to do with what we're talking about. We're talking about a brutal, vicious crime that is hours old and reporting it to the public safety, a skull in the middle of a forest in southern Washington, far from any humanity and any civilization that they theorize may be that of D.B. Cooper. This is not a public safety issue so much as it's just solving a cold case, you know.
Okay, so now you're telling me that a head, no big thing.
I'm telling you that it's the circumstances. Let's take a phone call. 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to go over to Fernando here. Fernando's in El Paso. Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
Well, I'm just trying to say that Hollywood Head sounds like another movie that he's trying to make, or what is he trying to make, a sitcom out of that?
And I'm not going to try to make no sitcom. What do you mean, a sitcom? I mean, we're talking about a head.
Well, I live next to the worst city that you can find in Mexico, and we see that every other day. And yes, if you have it every other day, it's going to affect tourism. But if it's an isolated incident, it wouldn't be such a big deal if you find the person who did it.
Yeah, I know, but you're talking about where is Mexico? That's not El Paso, you know. El Paso is El Paso. That's
Of course.
That's America.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go down to El Paso, and I'm going to have a good time or whatever, you know. I don't care what's going on in Juarez. I can't do nothing about that anyway, you know.
I still go over there, but I'm saying, you see that every other day over here. We read about it. We see it in our news. And we don't get scared because it doesn't happen over here. It just might be an accident.
Are you telling me do you go to Juarez to, like, party, or what do you do?
Oh, I got family.
And you go there even though they're finding heads down there. Wow.
They're finding party parts in bags all the time. They find freaking, they have all these notes. You find all crazy stuff over there. They show it on
the... What's the F there, Fernando? Sorry.
Sorry about that, sir.
You can't say the F word, man, but look.
No,
I know Juarez ain't nothing, man. Juarez is not America. I'm talking about America and in Hollywood, California, which is where I come from, L.A., you know? And okay, now look. And I want to be LAPD. I'm not going to tell people, oh, yeah, come on out to Hollywood, man, and check out, you know, Man's Chinese, this, that. And by the way, up at the Hollywood sign where everybody likes to go to take a picture, guess what, man? They found some dude's head in the bag. Yeah, sure.
Well, they're not going to put it that way. They're going to say, oh, by the way, the Hollywood sign where everybody likes to take pictures, they found a guy's head in a bag.
Well, yeah, that's what the L.A. Times. What are you laughing at, man? I mean, the L.A. Times put it like that. Head found, you know. I swear to God, man, it's almost like the L.A. Times wants tourists to go away and just because they'll say, yeah, guess what else, man? A head. Okay, great, man. Thank you. If I had a concession on Hollywood Boulevard of selling T-shirts and selling, what do you call it? They sell like those freeway signs you can get for kids. And they also sell...
Okay, so you had a concession. What about it?
And the L.A. Times goes, by the way, there's a head up here on the trail if you want to go look at it. Yeah, sure. This dude, Fernando, would you come to Hollywood?
Yeah, of course, because all you got to do is make it... It's an isolated incident. It's not like it happens every other day.
Not like it's happening every day.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly, like they're killing people left and right every 30 seconds, and it's not like that. So it wouldn't affect...
I don't know, man. I don't know if they are or not, man. Like, tomorrow they'll find maybe another head. You don't know.
Yes. They're going to find a head a day.
See, now you're laughing about it, Mr. Henry. I think it's unfortunate, you know, that tourism's being destroyed by it.
And you with the code, man, the Hollywood head. I agree with Fernando. It sounds like a movie. Sir, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Moving on to Dan. Dan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Remark for Phil. I understand what the gentleman is trying to say. What he's trying to say is that crime should be reported, but not sensationalized, as a lot of...
Exactly. What I'm saying. Well, I mean, but put a code on it.
Sir, if you'd wait not interrupt me, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. But if you put a code on it, you know?
Now, as I said, that's what Dave is trying to express, but failing miserable at. And Dave, just from a professional standpoint, if you were applying to work for my department and you were...
Dan, I'm sorry. Hold on. Dan, hold on for a minute. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with you, Dan. So hang on the line for me here. 877-876 Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show. We're in our break mode here, talking to Dave Oliva and a couple of other items. Possibly Bobby Dooley on this Paula Deen situation. I don't know how many of you people are, or how many of you guys are fans of hers, or how many of you use her recipes or know what's going on. But she's diabetic, and apparently she's still recommending these high-fat recipes. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876. Phil will be back with more from Dave Oliva.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876 Phil, and welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're happy to be back with you, and we did promise a couple of segments here with Bobby Dooley. We're also going to have Roland Schwinn joining her from Fat Pride, an organization that is taking great exception to some of the coverage being generated around Paula Deen. Now, you may not know what's happening with Paula. You may not even know the name Paula Deen, but Paula Deen is a Southern woman from the southern part of the United States. She apparently, and again, I'm not completely familiar with her work, but she apparently is proficient and has become very famous in our country for creating these marvelous recipes of desserts as well as entrees that are none of this health conscious stuff. In other words, what Paula Deen is all about is delicious, fat, sugary desserts and entrees, and now she's apparently been diagnosed as having diabetes. She is a cigarette smoker. She's 65 years old. She looks pretty good. Now, looking at the pictures of her, she looks pretty good. But we're going to get Bobby Dooley on the line here to talk with us about this. And, Bobby, I know that for you, at least, it's been a vindication for what you've been saying for a long time concerning this woman's program, right? And, Bobby Dooley, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry, Phil. We were just listening to you on the radio. I apologize. We had our radio turned up.
What I'm saying is this is vindication for you.
Well, we really do think it is, Phil. It's really a vindication for Steve. My husband has always believed that Paula Deen has been sending the wrong message to young women and to young girls and women. Steve has always felt that her program has been a negative, not a positive, to the self-image of women, particularly our young girls who are trying to stay in shape and want to remain as beautiful as they can, as well as well-rounded as they can be. Paula Deen, in my husband's opinion, has been celebrating a lifestyle that is unhealthy. She has been responsible for a lot of women abandoning the fitness regimens that they have been on for so long and have abandoned themselves to a life of desserts and fat foods and looking every bit the part. My husband also believes that Ms. Deen, who does turn 65 on Thursday, should not have kept her diagnosis private, even though her family and she were trying to figure out what to do, presumably about her health and a career built solidly on Southern cooking. So my husband thinks that that was very disingenuous and hypocritical. Among her many recipes, and this needs to be out there, Steve put together a list.
Now, you're mentioned, if you don't mind me interrupting.
Hold on. He put together a list. Deep-fried cheesecake covered in chocolate. This is a Paula Deen recipe. Am I right, Steve?
Yeah, that's Paula Deen recipe, and powdered sugar, and a case of cloves for a pound of bacon, if you can believe it.
Now, my husband wants everyone to know.
I got to interrupt you here for a minute, Bobby. Yes. You have said, my husband, my husband, my husband, my husband. How do you feel about this?
Well, I'm supporting my husband in his view that to encourage women to look like Paula Deen is wrong.
Why is it wrong?
Well, I think that when you encourage women to look like that, which is what Paula Deen is encouraging women to look like her, they're encouraging women to be diabetic, to smoke, to lie.
Wait. Hold on for just a moment here, okay?
Do it, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, Steve was saying to me...
Hold on for just a second. To lie... I said, what do you think... And you are still quoting your husband, and...
Well, this is a question, Phil. This is a husband's issue. It's not really our issue as women. We know what we want to do. But this issue is really about what our husbands expect from us. And, yes, what we expect from ourselves, but also what our husbands expect from us.
You have said that, all right, you have said that Ms. Deen... has encouraged women to look big or rotund or Rubenesque or however.
The word is rotund, Mr. Henry.
Steve was saying that the word is rotund, and that means fat.
All right, rotund. So Paula Deen wants women to look fat. She wants women to smoke. She wants women to have diabetes, and she wants women to lie about it. Are you really honestly saying that?
Phil, it's not me. It's Steve who's saying it.
I'm asking you, Ms. Dooley, since I'm interviewing you. I'm not interviewing your husband. He didn't want to come on the show.
No.
You did.
Yes, I came on the program because I am very familiar with working in front of the media, yes.
Okay. You're on the show telling me what your husband thinks. And your husband believes that Paula Deen is encouraging young women to be fat, to have diabetes, to smoke, and to lie. Do you think that?
Again, Phil... It is not about me or any of the women involved in this issue.
Well, Ms. Dooley, I can't let you go with that because you're on my show. You're saying, my husband, my husband, my husband.
Maybe she agrees with me, Mr. Henry. Did you say about that?
Yeah, my husband just said that...
I heard what he said.
Yes, he said, what if I agree with him?
Well, do you agree with him?
Again, this is not about whether I agree with him or not. What we all want, all the women listening tonight... And Phil, this is so very important. I don't want to argue, but my God, all we want is to support our men and to not have this contention. Paula Deen, she is the one that has, she made her bed and now she has to sleep in it. And as Steve was saying this morning, and he was trying to be funny, but he was also being very serious, Paula Deen made her bed and lined it in fat and oil. And now she has to lay in that slop.
And she's got diabetes and everything.
And she has diabetes. I think, Phil, that Ms. Deen, who is a pitch person, by the way, for Novo Nordisk's new online Diabetes in a New Light program, so she lied. Then she got herself an endorsement deal. I just think that what my husband's trying to say is the following.
And Bobby, I know what your husband's saying. I've already got it.
Is the following, if you'll pardon me.
I know what he's saying.
Is the following, if you'll pardon me.
Go ahead.
That Paula Deen is encouraging women...
To be fat.
To be fat, yes, to be fat.
To smoke.
But then you're being rude to my wife.
I'm trying to tell you what my husband believes... And
you told me that your husband... You told me that your husband believes that Paula Deen wants women to be fat.
She wants women to smoke. She wants women to be fat. And she wants women to have diabetes. And she wants women to lie.
And you honestly believe that's what Paula Deen wants. She does smoke.
Yes, absolutely.
She does smoke. She is overweight. She does have diabetes. I don't know that she lied.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, Mr. Henry, you really waited on that one.
Oh, my God. You know she lied.
I don't know that she lied. I know she did not immediately come out with the news that she had diabetes.
So here is a quote from Paula Deen, which I think is the absolute height of condescension. Quote, I've always said practice moderation, y'all. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What is...
Y'all. So she has put... What she's done with that y'all is she has roped an entire region into the lies. She's now Southern. Y'all. Everyone knows that a person with a charming Southern accent can get you to believe anything. Paula Deen, with her lies, has now gotten a generation of young women to believe that eating quiche made with one full pound of bacon
and fat too,
and the bacon fat, is really, really going to... I could, if she said it's going to make your boobs bigger, I could get it. But,
all right, Ms. Dooley, I understand what you're saying here. You have a problem with Paula Deen. That's what we're talking about. 877-876-PHIL. Let me tell you this much. Paula Deen has got some things to answer for. Number one, she didn't come out and say she had diabetes. She is a cigarette smoker. Look, I don't think she's denied any of this stuff. I think she probably should have come out and said, hey, I've got diabetes. When she got the diagnosis, she says that her family did keep this news to themselves while they figured out what they were going to do. Well, that's an interesting thing to say. And what she decided she'd do was take an endorsement deal for some kind of a diabetic's diet. And of course, you know, tried to figure out, and this is important, you do want to figure out how you want to present it to the public so it is going to reflect positively, not negatively. It's a normal thing. It's a human thing. It's something that everybody would do regardless. And Ms. Dooley, you know...
That's an absolute lie. What you just said there is a lie.
That people would not want to present something positively?
That's going to be a lie.
Not if my husband believes if it's...
You know, Ms. Dooley, hang on. And if you, during the break, I think you need to tell me, are you speaking for yourself or your husband? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Mm-hmm.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Tonight we have Bobby Dooley on for a segment or two. Ms. Dooley is with the Western States Homeowners Association and Parent Teacher Organization, has taken Paula Deen on here rather directly. Paula Deen, it was announced today, has been diagnosed with diabetes. I don't know what type, but it's not a... Well, I shouldn't say, but it is diabetes. It's serious enough when it affects someone who has been making her living, promoting various recipes and promoting a certain kind of culture in terms of food. Paula Deen is a Southern belle. She believes in the heavy creams and the sugars. And Bobby, you and your husband Steve, although it's been mostly your husband,
I'm speaking for my husband when I say that she is really she's pushing it. I think for a lot of people. There are 23 million Americans, Phil, who have common type 2 diabetes. And when you look at Paula Deen and you look at what she eats, which is, my God, quiche made with a pound of bacon, no wonder our young girls they're lost before they're even 21. They are huge. And
these girls are lost.
They're enormous, and it has to do with the Paula Deens of the world.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. I want to get some phone calls on from people who have had a number of things to comment. Here is Aaron on the Phil Hendry Show. Sir, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for taking my call.
Mostly my husband.
Yes, sir.
Listen, here's the thing. You know, we had these parents some time back who were blaming McDonald's
mm-hmm.
for the kids being fat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The parents are taking their kids to McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to blame McDonald's for making your
mm-hmm.
kids fat if you're the one buying
mm-hmm.
the food for them to eat to get fat with? That's just
mm-hmm.
as far out in that field as blaming Paula Deen for all these women getting fat
mm-hmm.
and losing their looks and everything else. Here's the thing. I watch Paula Deen quite a bit, And I'm going to tell you what.
She
makes dishes that you can make on special occasions. You don't have to make your food all the time and eat all the time. Of course you're going to get overweight and fat. Why are you going to make food like that all the time?
Hold on. Mr. Dooley, what'd you say?
What'd you say, Steve? Paula Deen eats it all the time. Look at her.
My husband
says Paula Deen owns a restaurant, too.
She eats it all the time. Look at her. Look at what she's become.
She's a Hollywood. She's a celebrity. I'll give you that. But how do you
diabetes? She's a celebrity with diabetes who smokes and can't have sex with her husband.
Whoa! Where do you get that?
Well,
I didn't go that far.
Well, let's be reasonable. Look at the size of the woman.
Ms. Dooley, I can't make that comment. I don't want you to. That has nothing to do with this.
Well, look at her.
Look at the woman. Well,
I'll tell you what, Ms. Dooley, if I may.
All you do is look at her.
She might be a curvy woman to some people, but I'll tell you what, she's a beautiful woman, I think she's beautiful.
Well, there's a lot of men that have, I don't know if it's healthy, but there are a lot of men that like that kind of morbidly obese woman.
We don't even know that she's obese.
I mean, she might be a little heavy, but
pretty.
She's not morbidly obese.
She's rough to look at.
We're demeaning this woman in a way that we don't need to, Ms. Dooley. If she's fat, okay. If she's smoking, all right. If she's got diabetes, I understand. Saying that she can't have sex with her husband and she's morbidly obese, I think is going over the line.
Mr. Henry, I did not say it. She's the one that parades her big fat. Can I say it?
Oh my God!
This is a man. What do you find so funny? I'm very curious.
I just can't. We all have imperfections, but I mean, you're just stoning this woman to death.
I did not come out. Excuse me. Maybe you didn't read the article. The woman did not tell people she had diabetes. She held this back while she figured out what her next PR move would be. My goodness. And she gets on television and parades that big arse of hers.
Okay, well, then she was
hurting
herself. Why would she be hurting the rest of us if she's holding that back?
Because there are housewives out there that see that big ass and think it's okay.
And if they go that far, I mean, to be real honest
with
you, they're pretty foolish themselves.
Their business. And it's their business, too. Aaron, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go up to Curtis. Curtis, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I would like to ask Miss Dooley, how do you think that she would wish anybody to have diabetes and be overweight?
I'm sorry, could you say that? How did she wish?
No, why do you think she would wish that on anybody to have diabetes?
Well, because she has it herself. She knows the people are influenced by her.
It's a common type of diabetes, but with her having that, you think that she would wish that on anybody else?
Well, I think she knows the influence she has on people. I think she knew that the kinds of food she was cooking and making for people and having people make at home would create this problem. How could you not? How could you not wish that your viewers get diabetes or worse when you're making that kind of slop?
You're
making that kind of slop.
On occasion, she doesn't tell you to live by it.
Well, when you look at her, what do you think the truth is?
That's a good point. When you look at
it, I think the truth is that she lives how she wants to. She doesn't tell everybody else to live
exactly
how she wants to live.
Yes, she does. When she, again, I'll go back to the term the last man laughed at. When she gets on television and she parades that ass, that's telling people, look at how I live and I don't care.
Are you saying that she's saying to people, live like me?
Well, Phil, yes, I am saying that because look at how she lives, look at who she is. She smokes cigarettes. She has diabetes.
I think she actually has done quite well for herself, but it doesn't mean I'm going to go out there
well,
and get diabetes.
Whatever. She's done. What does that mean? So she's going to have a really nice coffin? So she'll be buried in a really nice mausoleum? Is that how well she's done? She's going to be buried in a marble mausoleum. Good for her.
Yeah, good point, Bobby.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking my
You have to accept that. You have to accept.
I don't think there's any point in saying anything else. Thank you.
You have to accept what I said.
No, he doesn't, and I think the gentleman is. Thank you very much, sir, for your patience. 877-876-PHIL. Hey, listen, Mr. Dooley, if you didn't want to come on the show and be interviewed by me, why are you talking in the background?
Excuse me. My husband's entitled to his opinion.
Well, you're the one that's been on here going, my husband, my husband, my husband. Okay?
That's right.
Then why isn't your husband talking to me?
Because I'm not a very good interview person.
Did you hear that?
He's talking to me over your shoulder like I don't... It's a very bizarre configuration that we have here. Here is Gene on the Phil Hendry Show. Gene, go ahead.
Yes, I can't believe this lady is giving Paula Deen so much power over fat kids and fat women. And I'm a fat truck driver driving through Louisville, Kentucky right now.
That's a double whammy.
Nobody to blame for my fat ass except for me.
Louisville's to blame now. Because I know what you're going to do. I know what you're going to do. You're going to stop at the Varsities in Louisville.
I'm going to wipe out all this shit.
Exactly.
I'm going to go set it up.
McDonald's. Yes. He's in Louisville, Phil. There's a heart attack of a...